Amen, 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 and amen. How many of you were here last Sunday? You get to see the pastor run up and down the aisle.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Oh, goodness. Isn't that something? I ran up and down the aisle showing you that I really was healed.
Yes.
Praise
the Lord.
It's amazing how easy Jesus can heal a broken hip.
Amen. A broken femur.
A femur. Oh, okay. I mean, to me, it seems like it's a hip.
So, it's because that's where it hurts.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the good part about it. No pain. No pain, no pain, no pain, no pain. Well, praise the Lord. Everybody knows that today, the first Sunday of every month, we do communion. We've been doing a short version of communion now for quite a while. And so I decided today I'm going to do an in-depth teaching of a communion. And Dave Rosenfeld has done such a good job on teaching us about the communion, and he hasn't taught that in quite a while. How many of you have ever heard Dave teach on
that? Yes, it's great.
He's very, very good and very, very thorough.
Yep.
And by his stripes we are healed. You've got to believe that. You got to know that. So I decided today, since Dave hasn't done any teaching in a while, that we'll just let Dave do the teaching today on the communion. And they also remember, what is next Saturday?
Healing school.
Next Saturday is a healing school. So if you want to learn how to get healed, you need to hear this teaching Dave's going to do today. And then you need to act on it and do what he says, and you will be able to get your healing sooner or later. So anyway, I want Dave to come up and get wired up, and he's going to teach us on communion. So here he is. Pastor Dave Rosenfeld. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Wow, praise the Lord.
Praise the
Surprise?
Lord.
No? Oh, because you were told this week? So some of the people that worked for us knew that Dave was going to be teaching this week. So the boss didn't know it. Okay. He surprised us all. He surprised me too when he said, I want you to go do this. Anyway, enough of that. So this guy comes to me several years ago. And he's horribly ashamed of something he's done in his youth. Anybody? Talking to anybody? Probably everybody. And a lot of times, like this young man, well, he was an older man now, he's paying the consequences for that decision he made. Anybody doing that? Yeah? Don't like it, do we? What do you do about that? Suck it up, keep praying, repent. I assure you that guy's repented a billion times. Okay, a million. A billion is a stretch. He's repented and he's repented and he's repented and he's repented and he's repented. And he said, God, I promise I'll never do this again. God, I promise I'll never do this again. God, it doesn't even interest me anymore. It didn't help, though. Why didn't it help? Now I got everybody's attention. The front row says it's already been done. Anybody, any agreement on that? Then why are we still paying? Because we don't believe. We don't believe it. Why don't we believe it? Because we just don't believe it. Okay. I want to share with you what communion means. So when you walk away from that table every day, you believe it. Now, praise the Lord. We take the bread. What does that mean? What does that mean to you?
Body of Christ.
Body of Christ. Amen. And we gobble it down, right? What does it mean? Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And he said, Paul tells us that Jesus told him that if you don't do it worthily, you're eating and drinking damnation to yourself. That's why so many of you are weak, so many of you are sick, and many have died. What does it mean? Okay. Repeat after me. It means paid in full.
Paid in full.
That's great, great. What's paid in full?
All the whatever.
We don't really know, Dave. What's paid in full? Is it paid in full?
Yes.
We're going to go look at it. We're going to go look at it a little bit because some of us don't understand that. But what's paid in full?
All of it.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen. What? What is paid in full? The debt. Okay. Am I making you think?
Yes.
We don't really know, do we? Some of us might venture a guess, but we don't really know. Jesus just told us to do it. Right? We do it. I'm a good follower of Jesus. I'm going to do it. I have no idea what it means, but I'm going to do it. It's paid in full. Every time you grab this, y'all have a conscience?
Yes.
Say yes.
Yes.
How many of y'all have a conscience that talks to you? And condemns you and beats you up and tells you what a worthless, no good you are and why you can't find someone that loves you or whatever. You answer back, it's paid in full. Okay, so we're going to talk about that a little bit. So this young man that I was dealing with, he didn't understand it was paid in full. I want that to sit in our heads for a little bit. What does paid in full mean? What's paid in full? The debt. What debt?
Sin debt.
Sin debt? I heard sin debt. What's that?
Death. We owe death.
We owe death. So we should never die?
Well,
okay, we don't believe it yet. Praise the Lord. No condemnation there. Okay. I want to start. Before I can get into communion, I need to discuss a little bit about Genesis chapter 2. If it's a foundation that God gave me that... Bring up Genesis 2, let's look at 15, correction, 2, 7 through 9, 2, 7 through 9. And the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living, soul. Next verse. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Next verse. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Go up to 15 now. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Next verse. We're going to go to 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. That means eat, for those that are following the Hebrew. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt... Oh, some people have heard this before. What does die mean? It means you're really going to die. Do we have an example in Scripture of somebody dying? Say Jesus. What was the name that Jesus came to proclaim to us about God? What was the name he always used? Did he use Yahweh? No. Yahweh was in the Mosaic Covenant. It was in the Old Testament. Did he use Elohim? No. That was in the Old Covenant too. That's in Genesis 1. Did he use Yeshua? Not concerning the Father. That might have been the Father's name for him.
I am.
I am. That was in the Old Testament. That was spoken to Moses. Did he ever use the word Father? Did anybody in the Old Testament ever use Father? One time in a third person reference. He is the father of us all or something. It's in Isaiah. Jesus came to introduce a different name for Almighty God. And that name was what? Father. Would that be a different... Is that different than Almighty God? Say yes. Why? We're going to look at it in a little bit. It's buried in these two trees. There was a tree that God said, do not eat of it, because in a day you do, you shall die. And there was a tree that he said you could eat of and you would live eternally. Now, where are you going, Dave? Okay, the example of somebody who has died. It was Jesus. You find all through the New Testament that Jesus refers to God as my Father and your Father. If two of you on earth shall agree as touching anything that you shall... Come on, somebody knows it.
Ask.
Front row knows it. What about the back row? If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that you shall ask, it shall be done for you by Almighty God in heaven.
What?
Oh, by Father. Jesus never called God as his dialogue to God. He never called him God or Elohim or Yahweh. He always called him Father, except for one time. Where did he call him God?
At the cross.
And what did he say?
My God,
my God. Daddy, Daddy, why have you left me forsaken? No, he didn't say that. He died that first death so that you would not have to. So that you would never have to say, my God, my God. You could say, Daddy, 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 Daddy. This is what communion is about. Where's the word? Where's the what is the Greek word for communion? Say koinonia. What does it mean? It's that word I'm not allowed to say in here because people get offended. What word is that? Tell me. No, she says no. I can't say no in here. Okay, that's going to be. What is that?
Intercoursing relationship.
That's what koinonia means. It's an intimate relationship with the Father. Now, there's three types. I'm just going to say it real quick so you don't go berserk. There is the spiritual intimacy, there's a mental intimacy, and there's a physical intimacy. Obviously, we're not talking about the physical intimacy. We're talking about a spiritual, because we were created after Him, so we're spirit. In spirit and in truth. We worship Him in spirit and in truth. Okay, getting off topic a little bit. So the first time Jesus dies is when He says, this first die. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the second time He dies... Anybody have an idea? When He said, it is finished. He positions His head down. Actually breathes in. Puts His head down, says, it is finished, and gives up the ghost. He died the second time so you wouldn't have to. These are very, very important, because when we come to the communion table, if we don't recognize what Jesus has done, we're going to get to pay for it. This is why Paul is so adamant in 1 Corinthians 11 that we eat and drink unworthily, we eat and drink damnation. Whose damnation? Our damnation. Because of the body and blood of Christ. But we're going to get on past this. So I want to talk about the two trees for a little bit. And specifically, these two trees speak of, and please hear me, two covenants. Say two covenants. Do you have any idea what two covenants I might be talking about?
The old and the new.
Okay. Now I put a little flyer here together. Maybe we have enough for... I didn't know how many people were coming today, but maybe we have enough to... right there. I don't sit around and read it too long. Just... Would you hand these out? Thanks. Let me have one. I talk about the two trees, and I've never really defended them, explained to you what I mean. And specifically, the two trees represent two covenants. One looks like a legal covenant, the Ten Commandments. Can you all see that? It'll be coming to you. Front row says yes. Praise the Lord. I don't want to walk out in front of the speakers. And the other one is a cross. The tree of life is the cross. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is represented in the law. Now, I'm not saying the law is evil. God never said the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was evil. But there was a way that man interacted with the law They killed him. Okay, and maybe this is a good time to go to this. Let me explain this before we continue on. Whenever you teach the law, Jesus gave us an example of what it should look like in Luke 24. Who remembers the road to Emmaus? Bring up Luke 24, start at 22. Jesus has just risen from the dead, and Cleopas, Mr. and Mrs. Cleopas, praise the Lord, there's the husband and wife, they're walking on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus comes up beside him and says, "Hey, what you all talking about?" And they said, "Oh man, it's awful because we thought Jesus was the one and he's died and now that there are people saying that his body is gone and we don't know what to do." And he says, "Oh, you slow of heart. It's fools." And he says, "Foolish and certain women." Go next one. Should be around 22, 23. "And when they found not his body, they came saying," okay, next verse. I may just have to refer to it. Next one. "Then Jesus said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Next verse. "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" Next verse. And beginning at... What's beginning at Moses? What's that? What Moses? Exodus 1, right? Wrong. Genesis 1. The first five books of the Bible are always called the books of Moses. Jesus begins at Genesis 1 and all through the prophets. And what's he do? He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning what you must do now. Himself. The object here is to always illuminate Jesus Christ. The object is to, when I teach you, I want you to see Jesus Christ in it. So, with that foundation, I want to come back to the two trees. The two trees have some very interesting aspects to them. We already alluded to that the first one is called the Old Covenant. Y'all, everybody have at least every pew have a paper? They're making some copies. Okay, praise the Lord. What was the consequence of eating the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Die. What is the consequence of eating the tree of life? Two trees here. Life. Okay. You ever heard law and grace? Two trees. You see, they're all throughout Scripture, these analogies pointing back to what God said in the beginning. See, it's very emphatic. Don't eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Thanks for printing those out. What was the name of God that we used in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Yahweh, Elohim, right? El Shaddai, El Tzidkenu, Yahweh Tzidkenu. What was the name we used in the tree of life? Father and Daddy. These are two distinct... Now, this may be very new to you. You're like, oh my goodness, I don't understand what he's doing here. What were the feasts associated with these two trees? What was the feast associated? There were seven of them for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil or the law. Correct? One of them was Passover. What was the feast associated with the tree of life? Say communion. What is the Feast of Communion trying to convey to us? Something about the Tree of Life. It is not trying to convey to us something about the knowledge of good and evil. It's trying to convey to us something about the Tree of Life. But what is that? What is communion about? We're going to talk about that. The Tree of the Knowledge of Good and Evil got us kicked out of this intimate relationship with God, and the tree of life got us back. Now, when we come to the bread, bring up Isaiah 53. We'll start at verses 4 and 5. We'll read through for a little bit. Isaiah 53. When we come to the bread, and I pray that from now on you'll use matzah. No, it's not religious. It's not legalistic. There's a reason we use matzah. Why is it? Y'all see those holes in there? What do those holes remind you of? I'm sorry? Pierced for our rebellions. Front row's got it. Back row. He was... How many rebellions?
All.
Bring up that other slide I have for Isaiah 53:4. Correction. For 53:5. But he was... I have a slide for 53:5. It may not be there anymore. Okay. The NLT... okay. Give me 1 second. The NLT, I believe, translates it much better. He was pierced for our rebellions. What are rebellions? We've talked about that before. Willful sins. Do you have any children that rebelled against you, or employees that rebelled against you, or you rebelled against something? No, not that row. Praise the Lord. See, Mike didn't. He was pierced for our rebellions. How many? Then how many should you pay for?
None.
So why are you paying for them? What did you do as a kid that you rebelled and you're still paying for it today? Because you don't believe that it was paid in full. We take this to remember it's paid in full. How much is needed if it's paid in full?
Nothing.
Oh, maybe a little bit of sweat of Dave. Blood of Christ wasn't enough. We need a little sweat of Dave. Sweat's not going to add nothing to the blood of Christ? Then why do we do it? Why do we add our sweat to what He's already done? So, but it can't mean that He was pierced for all of our rebellions. Can it? Why? You have a verse for that? Colossians 2:13? Okay, that's the one you were going to get to, right? Yeah. Okay, Colossians 2:13? And we'll come back to Isaiah 53:5. It's so important. We rip through communion, don't give a second thought to what it means, and we wonder why we walk out still weak, still sick, still dying. If it's paid for, how much money do you need to add to it?
Nothing.
But we still do, don't we?
Yep.
Pastor? He talks about his broken hip, and Cheryl says it's a broken or a messed up femur.
Yes.
Yes, okay. How much money did he have to add to that? How much sweat did he have to add to that to get it fixed?
None.
How did he do that? Faith. Faith, okay. Faith in what?
Jesus Christ.
I have faith in Jesus Christ. The devils have faith in Jesus Christ. They know he's going to come and kick them in the behind. Faith in what? Faith that he had. That's exactly right. You have to believe that he's actually paid the price and you don't have to pay it. That's why he instituted communion every day, every hour of the day, every minute of the day if you can't get it through your head. It's okay to overdose on communion because you can't. To remind yourself, wait, this is paid for. This is paid for. So, you were dead... There should be a comma here. You were dead. Not NLT. Praise the Lord. Give me the King James, please. Okay. And you, there's the comma. Second comma. It's a prepositional phrase in here. Has he quickened together with him? Who's he talking about? And you... Has God quickened together with Christ? Having forgiven... Read that to me. Then how many are you supposed to be paying for?
Nothing.
Isn't this the beauty of this bread? You just take this one thing away. Now, the reason I use trespasses... actually, never mind. He wanted us to know when we sit down, what are you dealing with? What kind of ailment is in your body? What are you dealing with? What sin did you commit years and years ago that you're still paying for because you never believed it was actually paid for? We're going to get to for those that actually, no, I know it's paid for. I know it's paid for. Why isn't it working for you? We'll get to the cup and explain it. Okay? But for those that haven't even got to the point yet that this is the paid in full, this is an invoice, a lot of holes in it, paid in full, stamped on it. It's a receipt. Y'all know what a receipt is. Receipt means you own it. I just bought my wife some new couches. Nice looking couches. I had a receipt in hand, went to the back of the store, and I handed it to them, and they loaded me up two beautiful couches. Amen. A receipt means you own it. All things, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places are Jesus's. Ours. Here's your receipt. Here's your receipt that says all those things belong to you. But you know, we make a religion out of this. Oh, don't take this more than once a month. We know all the Church of Christ are going to hell because they do it every week. No, they're not going to hell. It's paid in full. So every rebellion, every trespass, having forgiven, everyone say that last phrase, forgiven you. Now, Pastor has asked this before. What does all mean?
All means everything.
I call it a reference standard word. It's a word we define other words by. All means all. What are you paying for in your flesh, in your life, in your finances, in your marriage, because you never went and realized that the dumb thing you did was paid for? Look at you. Kids? You have kids that ran amok? It's paid for. You don't have to pay for it anymore. This is why we come to the table. We do it in faith. You know, I mentioned that the meal for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was a Passover. That was a faith meal. They had no idea if God was actually what God was going to do and if He was going to save them through it. They were sitting there. They had just done what they were told. Put the blood on the doorpost. Did that absolve them from all their sins? No. They was just as much a sinner as the Egyptians, except... What did God say? When I see your good works, when I see your repentance, what does this mean? It's the blood of Christ. If I poke you, what comes out? It's a receipt. It's a paid in full stamped invoice. It's paid for. But if you haven't heard this before, you're like, wow, yeah, I can see what he's saying, but this is why we do communion again and again and again and again, so that we know it's paid for. Go back to Isaiah 53:5 in King James. So you're getting the idea that when you take that bread, don't hold one rebellion against yourself. You know, people that have depressions and all these messed up mind problems that they have is because they don't know that God loves them. How much rebellion is God holding against you?
None.
Except for the ones you do tomorrow. Oh, it's got quiet in this house. How many trespasses did He pay for?
All.
Then you think that maybe your sins tomorrow are included in that because maybe all your sins were in the future at the time He died that? All means
all.
Now, what's going to happen tomorrow if you go and do something dumb? Your conscience, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, precious gift from Adam, is going to step up to the plate and say, look at you, you call yourself a Christian. And you go right back to the table and say, shut up. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's kind of harsh in a church, sorry. You tell it to be quiet. No. This says it's paid for. Is God holding any rebellions against you? Why not? Because was God big enough to bring a sacrifice sufficient for even your rebellions?
Yes.
You know, people don't like it when I say Adam had sin. Okay, I won't say it. Adam was never going to be the Savior of the world. Adam needed a Savior. Whether he had eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil or not, he needed a Savior. How do I know that? Because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Only begotten means only one. And that's not what He called Adam. His only begotten Son was Jesus Christ. And this represents that payment, not Adam's mess. Okay, so let's go back to here. He was bruised. bruised for our iniquities. What are iniquities? Y'all remember that? Come on. See how, those of you that have been here many times hearing me say, see how important it is to remember these things? To be continually reminded, because iniquities refers to our heart. We might, there was a phrase, a bad person that does a good thing doesn't make that person a good person. That person is still a bad person. Okay, I'll say it again. A bad person that does a good thing doesn't automatically make him good. He's still bad, or she's still bad. So, with that, iniquities are the heart behind. I might have done the right thing in the outward appearance, but my heart wasn't there. If my heart's not there, it's a sin. Is God holding any of those against me? Why not? Now, I'm not saying go out and do all these things, because God made it very clear. You have to love your neighbor as yourself. See, your sin problem is not between you and God. He's got a sacrifice that took care of it. The problem is that when you sin, 1 Corinthians 6:13 says, all sins you commit are outside your body, which means towards others. But he who sins sexually actually sins against his own self. Okay, so every sin that you're committing is actually towards someone else. That all needs to be taken care of, but that's right now we're just going to look at your relationship with God. You mentioned having faith that God actually paid it. You can't have faith that God is going to bless you if you think he still owes you a discipline because of something you've done. The bread is to remind you it was paid for. Now you can run to the table and say, okay, God, thank you so much for paying for that. See, you have to have the sin consciousness gone. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil provided you a free sin consciousness. The tree of life says that the blood of Jesus cleansed even the consciousness of sin. Hebrews, you go look it up in Hebrews probably 9. What was so important about getting the consciousness of sin cleaned out of us? You want to turn the air conditioning on? Everybody's struggling with it. Yeah, it's getting pretty warm. Is it warm? Okay, we got some people saying it's warm. They're really engaged, but they're like, oh, somebody needs to turn on the air conditioning. Okay. Praise the Lord. See, who's been praying? One of y'all been praying. See, God answered your prayer. Okay. So, iniquities are the heart behind it. It's been paid for. Look at the next one. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. What is a chastisement? It's how we teach a lesson. It's the punishment given to teach a lesson. So when you need to learn a lesson, especially about peace, you don't even have to pay for it. He's already paid for it. That's how much your dad loves you. Now you won't find this in the Old Covenant. Well, you'll find this in the Old Covenant because it's speaking about Jesus, because we're illuminating Jesus here. But this was not for the Old Covenant people. They only saw it coming. They had no idea when it was going to get there. This has all been enacted with Christ in His blood. And then finally, by His stripes you are healed. Next verse. There's one phrase I want to look at in here. The last phrase. Okay, so we'll read the whole thing. And we like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us does that. And as soon as we go astray, God's ready to... No, He's got a sacrifice. He says, run to my table, remember the sacrifice. Think of it like this. God has forgiven you of how many trespasses? Who's the one that doesn't believe that? You. This is why He says, come to the table so you can be reminded of it. You should not live your life ducking all the time. Because our Savior cried, it is finished. And that's what He wants you to do. He wants you to come to the table to recognize it's finished. Now, you can receive all the mess you want out of the Old Covenant, because that's the only thing that's left for you. If you don't accept by faith that God has done this through Christ, then there's another covenant for you, and it's the one where you fall from grace. And that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then you get to pay for everything. I'll leave it there for now. We'll get back to it. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the
iniquity.
How much iniquity for how many people?
All.
So you've had a bad attitude about something. Has he taken care of that? Is he holding that against you?
No.
Do you see what we're supposed to see when we come to this table? You can't possibly get into the cup until you know what the bread means. If you go to the table, you can drink it unworthily. You can suck it down. You can get sick and die. But that's not what he intended. He wanted you to understand that, look, what did Jesus say about the cup? This is the new covenant in my blood. What did he mean by new covenant? He said, I ain't talking about the tree of knowledge of good and evil anymore. I'm talking about the tree of... That thing never turned on. It may be on heat. I don't know. You hope it's on heat? Praise the Lord. Am I making sense? This may be very, very new for some of you. There is another covenant where you can pay for everything you do. But God's not in that one anymore. When he rent that veil, that other covenant was done. Christ has been crucified, and I and praise the Lord. We'll get to it. It's in my notes. So how much iniquity has God laid on him? Iniquity of us all. Is that awesome? So how much should you pay for? So, okay, next verse. Verse 7 says that he was numbered with the transgressors. Yeah, he was oppressed, he was afflicted. These are all things that you should have gotten. That the bread is trying to tell you, you deserve this. But your daddy said, no, you are not paying for it. I'm going to have one perfect sacrifice that takes care of it all. And he was... Okay, next verse. There's another verse in here I want to see. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He's taken care of all of that. Next verse. Actually, we want to go past 9. Keep going. Go to 9. We'll look at it real quick. Okay, verse 10. Let's look at verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to... Yahweh did this to him. Why? So that we could call him daddy. You see what I'm saying? I'm going to leave it right there. We'll come back to it when we get to the cup. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to put him to grief. And he will make his soul an offering, and he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. Next verse. He shall see the travail of his soul. And what? What does that mean? Now, I know we're looking forward. This is a prophetic utterance that the New Testament tells us happened. What does it mean to be satisfied? Who's satisfied? He, God, Daddy, who, what? Our dad, the one that is in the tree of life, that has instituted this meal, says, I want you to take the bread and recognize, I'm satisfied. That means I'm satiated. I'm filled to the full. Of what? All of the wrath, all of the punishment. What have we been talking about? We've been talking about some sacrifice getting a thunderous beating here. What was the sacrifice for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? The law. What was the sacrifice? It was a lamb, spotless, and your sweat. How long did it last? 1 year. What was the lamb? What was the sacrifice for this sacrifice? What was the sacrifice for this covenant, the tree of life?
Jesus.
How long does it last?
Forever.
Did you hear what you just said? Forever.
That means you're not supposed to be paying for nothing because the sacrifice is in place. And every time you do something that might upset God, He looks and goes, well, I've got a sacrifice. What about you? Oh, no, I'm gonna do some things for you, God. I got to do some religion. No. He says, I have a sacrifice. Are you going to come to the table and remember it? Or are you going to just go ahead and do your own thing? No condemnation. We all do it. We do something dumb and we beat ourselves up for half a day or a day going, I can't believe I did that. Instead of running to the communion table going, thank you for paying for that as well. And grabbing that paid in full invoice and saying, thank you, it's done. Do you understand that when we walk away from the table, there should be no more consciousness of sin? What does that mean, consciousness of sin? It shouldn't even enter into your mind. It shouldn't even factor into anything that you're doing. Because you are holding the receipt. You're holding the receipt that says it's done. Amen? Go to the next verse. Oh, God, wait, hold on. We're going to finish this. He shall see the travail of his soul, and Yahweh, God, shall be satisfied. And then what's he say at the bottom there? For he shall bear... Look how many times he's mentioned all these sin issues that we have. Does this now make us perfect? In God's eyes. But we still walk around here and we still see ourselves messing up. Right? I mean, if you don't think you mess up, go drive a nail with a hammer and miss the nail. Get the wrong nail. You find out what comes out. Does that offend God? No. He says, I got a sacrifice for that. Will you go to the table and remember it? Amen. You know, now, this might short circuit a little bit. But if you continue to remember that God is not holding it against you, you fall more and more in love with Him. You start realizing, I'll give you a good example. I'm on vacation and my flesh is bugging me like crazy. And I said, you know, God, You've been giving me this revelation, what's about the cup, we're going to get to it in a minute, that all I have to do is ask. I don't have to do anything because it's already been done. What are you supposed to do if everything's already been done? Say ask. Okay, good, ask. So I'm sitting there and His flesh is bugging me and I'm like, you know, God, I'm not going to confess no sins. I'm not going to tell You thank You when it's done. I'm not going to praise You beforehand. I said, I'm simply asking. In John 16:24. Hitherto have you asked nothing in My name. Ask, you shall receive that your joy may be full. I said, this thing in My flesh has got to go. Yes. Within 1 minute, it was gone. Hallelujah. Why? Because I was His kid. I knew whatever I had done was paid for. I didn't have to pay for it no more. It was paid for, and there is not, whatever Jesus' blood paid for, the sweat of Dave could not add to it. There was nothing. It was paid for. Now, with how many times does Pastor get something done simply by asking God? Lots. Because that's all we do in the cup. In the new covenant. The new covenant is very simple. First of all, well, let me make sure I've finished my thoughts here before we get into the bread or into the cup. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's good enough. We can go to the cup. Are you getting? Why did Jesus grab the middle piece of matzah at the Passover Seder meal and say, this is My body that's broken for you? They all knew that middle piece of matzah meant there was a sacrifice. And if you've ever done a Passover, it gets hidden for who to find?
The children.
And they go run around the house, they go find it, and they bring it back and they eat it. Okay, Jesus said, This is Me. Don't ever forget. Do this in remembrance of Me. Don't ever forget that I paid for whatever mess you are. Don't try and help me with it. Don't try and fix it. You know how you fall from grace? It's not by sinning. It's by trying to fix it. Trying to help God with what He's already done. He goes, I don't know what you're talking about. I got a sacrifice right here. Now, when you can begin to see that God is not holding your sins against you because of what He did with that sacrifice, then you can go enjoy the cup because you're in a new covenant. And look at Hebrews 8. Hebrews 8, let's look around verse 7. It might be a little bit later than that, but let's see Hebrews 8. Jesus takes, well, Paul is the one who tells us. He says he takes the cup and he holds the cup and he says, this is the what? Say new covenant. In my blood. What does he mean by that? It means it ain't the old. Look, for if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. Next verse. Next verse, please. Eight. There we go. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days... No, move on past this. He says, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Next verse. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. This new covenant is nothing like the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Am I making sense? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life are two completely different covenants. And the tree of life, how do you operate in the tree of life? If everything is done, what are you supposed to do? I'm sorry? Nothing? Well, there's something you get to do. Rest. Amen. Certainly not work. You get to rest. You get to enter His rest and you get to say, like Dave did on vacation. Dave stops in Wall, South Dakota. Wonderful place. It's a lot of fun. If you've never been there, you need to go. And it gets down to about 9 degrees one morning. And Dave goes out and starts his truck. Starts just fine. Starts to drive away. Like, oh, this ain't going to make it to Dallas. And I went and I said, okay, God. You know how easy it is to start looking for my sin? What did I do, God? Where did I mess up? What do I do wrong? You know how easy that is? Y'all know. And I said, I ain't going to look for nothing. I'm asking you to tell me what's wrong with this truck. Now watch. Was there no lack of sin? I'm sure there was no lack of sin. Just ask my wife. I chewed her out for something she'd done on vacation. But I didn't go repent. I didn't do nothing about the sin. I don't have a sin consciousness. I have a bread that says, no more sin consciousness. And I went out underneath that hood and I popped that hood up and I said, Lord, You've got to show me what's going on. I'm asking You what's wrong. And I grabbed a connector and it came off in my hand. And I said, that connector has to be connected in order for this engine to run. And I knew where the problem was. The mechanic went, put on a new connector, and he put a new, put connectors on both sides. The truck ran like a top. Cost me $200 to get it fixed in Wall, South Dakota. Plus the kids got to stay 4 days and enjoy Wall, South Dakota. We actually had a lot of fun there. If you've never been to Wall Drug in South Dakota, you got to go because they got great donuts. And I did get off my diet. I did eat donuts every day. My dad has my back. And he doesn't want any help from me. He just simply wants me to ask. Do you have a scripture for that? Well, let's look at some of the many that Pastor Scribner always gives us. Let's go to John 16, 23 and 24. Look what's required of you for those that live in the new covenant. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask Almighty God. Who?
The Father.
Notice who we're talking. We're not talking about that law covenant, that tree of knowledge of good and evil covenant. We're talking about the tree of life covenant, the daddy covenant. There's no lack of sin in the camp. But yet when he sees the blood, he He goes, oh, that's my favorite daughter. That's my favorite son. And he passes right on over. I'll bet somebody was fussing about the lamb or the mutton that got cooked that night at Passover. Why can't you learn to cook this stuff? But the blood's over the door, and the death angel goes right on over. Doesn't matter. You know, if I can drive this home to you today, Jesus has paid this, actually, correction, God has brought the most perfect sacrifice to take care of every one of your problems, whether they were yesterday, today, or tomorrow. And all you have to do is remember it. But if you don't remember it, you won't speak like this. You won't ask the Father in Jesus' name. And what does it mean to ask in Jesus' name? Oh, Father, we want this in Jesus' name. No. I don't have time to defend it today, but when it means His name, it means in the Tree of Life covenant. That's what it means. Ask me for anything in the Tree of Life covenant, and I will give it you. Because I've got a sacrifice in place. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places are sitting right beside me, and I can give them out as I choose to whoever asks. You know, you made a mess of your life long time ago. Long time ago. And you're still paying for it because you never asked Him to fix it. Oh, but I have. I've prayed hours and days and years and months. No, you begged Him. You never once went and said, Father, next verse. Next verse, quick, 24. You never asked Him, said, ask, I will receive that my joy may be full. You've never asked Him like that. You begged and pleaded and promised you're going to stop doing this and you're going to start doing that. And He says, I didn't ask for any of that. I just simply said, ask, you shall receive that your joy may be full. This is the new covenant. But if you want to try and add something to it, then I can't preach that for you. I can't teach you that. Let's go to Matthew 18:19. Who knows what Matthew 18:19 says? If two of you on earth that are sinless, that quit messing up, it says if two of you shall agree on earth as husband and wives, can you guys agree? Can you agree that it shall be done for them of my Almighty God which is in heaven?
Yes.
What covenant are we looking at? We're looking at the Tree of Life covenant. There was no stipulations about how much or how little you could eat of this tree. Pastor Scribner is an excellent example of somebody that has asked and asked and asked and got and got and got. How many of y'all, He asked for something for you and you got it?
Amen.
Okay, that's the majority of y'all. Because this is how it works. God sent you out to be lights so that you would finally know, I can ask and He will show up. Look who's doing it again. And it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. What covenant are we looking at? You won't find. Father does not refer to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay, let's look at another one. Mark 11:23 and 24. Mark 11:23. Let's just start there. Actually, no, I want to go Matthew. Let's stay in Matthew. Matthew 20, I think it's 21:22. Yeah, Matthew 21:21 and 22. Start. Put both up, 21 and 22. Verses. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not. Faith in what? Faith in what that sacrifice has accomplished. Faith that it's paid for. I'll leave right there. We'll come back to it in a second. If ye have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing. Does that mean you believe what you're saying? Yes, Mark 11:23 says it, but why can you believe what you say? Because you know you have a daddy that's got your back. You have a daddy that says, I will answer whatever you ask me for. But you got to start with that bread first. You can't jump into the new covenant until you recognize what the sacrifice paid for. Do you know that the bread is all about the payment of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Look at everything that tree demands of us is paid for in that bread. Now we have a tree of life. It's wide open to us. We now can ask Him for anything. And it's not because, does it say there, and as long as you're living a good life and fasting three times a day?
No.
He says, whatever you ask. This has taken me so long to finally get a hold of. That's why I'm sharing it. I always thought I had to do something, promise something, add something. He said, no, I only asked you to ask. If you want to help me with it, then go see what you can get done. I just told you, accept the sacrifice that I have brought and ask me. Are you seeing this here? Okay, let's go to Mark 11:23. Are you getting something out of this? For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Problem is, we don't believe that what we say is going to happen. Because if we have any vestige of tree of knowledge of good and evil within us, the knowledge of good and evil will tell us, you can't make that happen. The knowledge of good and evil says, you ain't. What kind of Christian do you think you are anyway? You can't be asking for that. And then we believe it, and it never happens. And we say, well, I tried it, but it doesn't work. No, you start with the bread. You start with the bread every day and say that sin's taken care of. Father, I'm holding the paid. Whatever it is that might be held against me, I've got the paid in full receipt. And then we go to the cup and say, Father, this is what I'm asking for, because that's all that... Now, let me just add this small caveat. The Father knows what you have need of, but He wants to hear it from you. You've been dealing with an illness in your body for years and years and years. It happened a long time ago. And you say, well, I prayed. I've asked God. I'm just waiting. Why don't you go take communion every day and ask Him? I promise you it will show up a lot faster. Pastor said, Pastor ran through here last Sunday, right?
Yes, he did.
Those of you that were here?
Yes.
What does he do every day?
He's taking communion.
Louder.
Communion.
He takes communion every day. Wow. Now, is communion the all cure? Not for the head. But when you take it, remembering that, wait, my dad took care of everything. What is left if he's taken care of everything?
Nothing.
Maybe your bad attitude. Maybe your unforgiveness. No. He knows how to get that unforgiveness out of you. Yes, you can pay for it if you want. But he says, come to me. Now, some of you are thinking, Dave, you said so much, I don't even know. I can't even possibly remember all of it. You don't have to. You say, Daddy, would you show me? Who do you think I got it from? That preacher down the street. No. I'll tell you, it was down the street, because when I went walking and I'd come back, he'd give me a little revelation every day. Till it finally begun to sink in. There's nothing you need to add except ask him. But you got to believe with no doubt. How do you do that? Faith comes by hearing. You keep hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing that he's not holding anything against you, and faith will come. You keep believing that you owe and owe and owe, and that faith will come as well. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So, let's go to Mark 11:24. Let's look at another one of these promises. Do you know that these promises are yours simply because of that table?
Amen.
Not because you have memorized them, not because you've gotten some revelation. Well, it is partly a revelation, but it's not because you did anything. God says, I'm going to give you a book of promises. Just bring one. Try me in this. See if I won't do it.
Amen.
James tells us, you have not because you ask not. Why are you still dealing with the stuff you're dealing with? Because you never went to him in faith saying, you know what? I finally recognize there ain't nothing against my record. That was all put on that cross. Colossians 2. Praise the Lord. Colossians 2:24. Let me read 23. You can bring up that correction. Colossians 2:13. Let's look at it real quick and we'll come back to 11:24. Maybe. Mark. And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, has God quickened together with Christ, having forgiven you all trespasses. Next verse. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. What is the handwriting of ordinances? The law. Why do you say that? Tree of knowledge of good and evil. What is the ruling document? The handwriting of God. 10 words that he wrote down. 10 words that he wrote engraved in stone. Those were against us. Because nobody could do them. The first one was, thou shalt have no other gods before you. Have you done that one?
Nope.
So you failed the first one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You done that one? No. These handwriting, these ordinances were against us. They're wonderful ordinances. They're awesome ordinances, but we could not do them. So he says, come to the table and remember, I did them for you. I'm going to go look at some Old Testament verses real quick. One of Pastor's favorites. Bring up Exodus 23:25. Let's look at this. Here's an old covenant promise. And you shall serve the Lord your God. No, correction. Exodus 15:23. We'll get to that one maybe someday. Exodus 15:23. 24. 25? Praise the Lord. Okay. These are all pastor's favorite verses, I'm sure, but... Yeah, praise the Lord. I should know this. 15:26. There we go. Okay. Exodus 15:26. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have put out upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Has any one of you done that? Has any one of you kept all his statutes? I had one lady tell me yes. I said, you have? Tell me about it. Sorry. You have never done that, therefore you cannot claim that verse. Oh, that's not good. Look at it. Have you diligently hearkened to the voice of the Lord your God? No. Have you done that which was right in his sight? No, but you sure did what was wrong. Have you given ear to his commandments? Oh, we try. Have you kept all his statutes? Do you see how the tree of the knowledge of good and evil has buried us before we start? But, illuminate Jesus Christ, I have a Savior that has done all that. Let me say it again. I have a Savior that has done every bit of that. I have died with Him. I've been resurrected with Him. Therefore, I can now claim He's the Lord that heals me.
Amen.
because I go back to that table to remember. I have a Savior that did all that. I have a Savior that diligently hearkened to the voice of the Lord my God. I have a Savior that did what was right in God's sight. I have a Savior that gave ear to His commandments. And I have a Savior that kept all His statutes. You see what I mean about illuminating Jesus Christ in the Old Covenant? Jesus did this for us. You're never going to do this. You cannot claim that verse if you think you're going to do it by your own abilities, because you can't. But I have a Savior that did all that. I have a Savior that by His stripes I was healed. Because He did this. Amen? When you look at the Old Covenant, the tree of the knowledge, what's the knowledge of good and evil? It's knowledge of good and evil. There's no rocket science in there. You want to know what's right, want to know what's wrong, go to the law. It tells you. But it could not save you. I had to have a sacrifice. I had to have a sacrifice that wasn't yearly. I had to have a sacrifice that represented me exactly. And that was Jesus Christ. So when we come to that bread, we remember, oh, I have a Savior that has done all these things. This is why I can be healed. This is why I can be saved, healed, made whole, delivered, and preserved. Because I have a Savior that did it. If I could do any one of these things and God accepted it, then Jesus died in vain. What a waste of a life. If I could have done it myself, but I could not. So the more I recognize what I could not do, and the more I recognize about how much the Father does not hold that against me, the more I fall in love with Him. I have this beautiful wife. I don't sin against her intentionally because I know I can get away with it. I don't sin against her because I'm falling more and more in love with her because of how much she loves me. When we begin to see the Father like this, you will find that you will find things that you did evaporate. You will find things that you do. Guys struggling with pornography, you won't anymore once you recognize that He's paid for it. It'll go like that. I know, because it did for me. You had an abortion. You're struggling with that because, oh, I can't believe what God thinks about me. You don't know what He thinks about you. Go take the bread. Remember, it's not even in His vocabulary. Now, I'm not saying go out and have abortions. But the more you recognize that He's forgiven you of that, the more you fall in love with Him, and then He moves you into another avenue of life where you take care of everybody's babies. I don't know. But there is a restoration. You can either go to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you can take the beating for yourself, or you can go to the tree of life and say, Jesus took mine. That's what the table's about. That's what that feast is about. That feast is about us remembering that I don't have to pay for it. You made a mistake, you go and start asking. Father, I'm asking. Every day you ask Him. But you ask in faith. Nothing wavering. Don't waver that, well, maybe this or maybe that. No. Ask in faith. Like, Father, this is what I want. I heard of a testimony just the other day. Somebody had been struggling with mental illness, and they started taking communion every day, recognizing that God loved them, that Daddy loved them, and they are completely whole. And that's all they did.
Yeah.
If you recognize how much Daddy loves you, sin consciousness goes away. It doesn't even become a part of your language. Am I making sense?
Amen.
Okay. We're going to do communion. Y'all want to do communion now?
Amen.
Okay, I guess that's a yes. Praise the Lord. Bring up Colossians 2:13, please. We're going to look at this. What did the bread pay for? I want you guys, while the bread's getting passed out, to think about, like this young man I was talking about that had done something really, really, really dumb when he was young, that was plaguing him as he got older. See yourself forgiven. Not asking for it. See yourself that God knew ahead of time that needed... Come on down, guys. See that God knew ahead of time that you needed a sacrifice. See that it was paid for a long time ago, and it's about time that you caught up with it. See yourself like that. How many trespasses has He forgiven?
All.
All. Amen. Eh? You all get something out of that? Well, praise the Lord. Remember that. When you write a book or whatever, you put a premise statement in it. So I'm going to read you the one I wrote. This is what I wanted to convey to you today. God loves us intimately, and He has no more sin consciousness of our sins. We may have it, but He does not. Why doesn't He have it? Because you're holding the paid in full invoice. The receipt. You know, why are you afraid to pray for people? Because you don't think He'll show up. Why don't you think He'll show up? Oh, because you got some idea that sacrifice. And you just don't believe that He will do it for you. You don't believe He has your back. Then He says, I've been telling you, I even had my son give you communion to tell you how special you are to me, how much I love you, how much I want you to know. Just ask me anything. I will prove it, even if it's stupid. Just ask me. Oh, no, God. And so we wait and wait and wait and wait. We like, Dave, wait 2 years to get healed. And I begged and pleaded. I cleaned it up. I cleaned up my life, and I begged and pleaded, and I did all the things, and I still didn't know how I got healed. And all I had to do was recognize that whatever dumb thing I had done was already paid for in that bread. And that that it was paid for. And that all I had to do was ask Him. You got a mess in your life? You got kids that run amok? Start asking. Was it your fault? Probably. It takes two. It's paid for. Start asking. Don't beg. Don't plead. Don't make Him promises. Don't tell Him, I promise I'll bless you and praise you when it's done. Just ask Him. So, partake. Thank you, Father, for your amazing sacrifice. And the cup reminds us to ask. Walk away knowing there is nothing standing in the way of my request. There's nothing. If it was left up to you, there'd be lots of things. But it wasn't left up to you. It was left up to Him. And He said, there's nothing standing in the way. You want to see this church start, see things happen? We start asking. Take communion every day. Anyway, thank you, Father, that all we have to do is ask. Amen. Oh, thank you. All right, y'all get something out of that? Okay, praise the Lord. I'm going to hand it back to Pastor and Cheryl. Thank you for letting me share. Praise the Lord. It's paid for. Is it be on video? Yeah, okay, she says yes.
We recorded it, didn't we, guys? Praise the Lord. By His stripes we are healed. It's a done deal, praise God. Just like Dave said, all you got to do is ask in faith.
And you got a great example of here that does it all the time.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. It works.
And it works. All the time.
All the time. That's why people come here from everywhere to get prayed for, and those that believe get healed. I just can't imagine. I can't even think how many people we may have prayed for in the last 20 years. I just have no idea. But when you think about it, all he's waiting on is for you to ask in faith. I remember that time we was going to Norway when Cheryl was having trouble with her stomach. He kept telling me when I'd go by, pray for me, pray for me. And I said, when she's the one getting up going to the bathroom. Finally, I said, Lord, please, will you do something to heal? Will you please heal my wife? And he said, son, you're begging. And I was. He said, I don't answer prayers of begging. I am a faith God. He said, what do you ask in faith? I'll answer. So I said, Lord, I repent. Yes. Yes. I said, Lord, John 14:13-14 says, whatever I ask in the name of Jesus, it's done. So I said, Lord, thank you for healing Cheryl in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes. She come by, I slapped her on the backside. As she went by to get back in her seat. I said, woman, guarantee you are healed. Amen. And she never had no more trouble with her. The whole time we were gone, everything worked perfect. Isn't that amazing? That is available to every one of us. That is exactly the way I got this hip or femur or whatever you call this thing. Whatever that thing is right here, they want to put three screws in. I didn't let him put three screws in it, but I did call on the name of Jesus and ask him to fix it, and he did. And he did. So praise the Lord. Isn't he a good God?
Yes, he is.
He made a set of rules, and he tells us exactly what to do. And so many of us don't do anything but plead or beg. And we wonder why we don't get our answer. I am a faith God. I answer prayers of faith. I do not answer prayers of begging. Ain't that something? Yeah. Say, Lord, I'm not going to beg no more. I'm just going to call on your word just exactly like it said. I'm going to praise you and thank you, and then I'm going to have somebody pray for me, and I'm going to believe it's done. In Jesus' name, amen. Next Saturday, we have a healing school. 1 o'clock till 5 o'clock. Come and receive your healing and believe. That's why Jesus said, only
believe
and you shall see the glory of God. Yes. Only believe. That's what we're going to do, is it not?
Amen.
Okay, I've got some prayer warriors here I want to stand up. These are the folks that you need to pray for you. If you need to answer a prayer today, they can pray the prayer of faith for you. We'll be here to pray for you. If you don't need any prayer, well, all the CDs and DVDs, just take what you want, take it home with you and listen to it. And if you'll listen to these teachings and then obey what they say, I guarantee it will change the way you do business. I got tickled at Mike the other day. He was telling me he's talked to somebody. And he said, my land, we got to talking about the miracles you've seen done at work. And he said, it's miracle after miracle after miracle. And he said, I never seen a miracle until I came here. Then all of a sudden I began to believe God like God told me to believe. And now then he said, I see miracles every day.
Amen.
And that's just like Kim and Scott, this couple standing right here. They were the same way when she says, wouldn't it be nice, Pastor, if Matthew 18:19 really did work? I said, it does work. All you got to do is you and your husband agree, and then say, thank you, Lord, and I guarantee he'll answer your prayer.
Amen.
Boy, they started coming back saying, "He's right, you're right, it did work.
Amen.
I said, how many times? They said, every time.
Amen.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
So praise the Lord. Well, if you need prayer, well, come see one of these folks. And you're dismissed, okay? Praise the Lord.